Nature's simplest molecule grounds man's most complicated machine. Cessna will shed another 1,300 jobs. And AirTran expects a profit in 2009. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 15, 2009. The Space Shuttle Endeavour was scheduled for launch on Saturday, but will now remain on Kennedy's Pad 39A until at least Wednesday. NASA says the scrub was triggered by a leak associated with the gaseous hydrogen venting system outside the shuttle's external fuel tank. The system is used to carry excess hydrogen safely away from the launch pad. NASA officials have noted that the leak is a pad-related problem and is not a vehicle-related issue. Even if NASA was ready to go on Wednesday, there's a conflict over at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, where NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite is scheduled for launch that day. Technicians who've inspected the Pad 39A venting system expect that replacement of seals will solve the latest shuttle glitch. Today was supposed to see a test of NASA's Max Launch Abort system over the agency's facility on Wallops Island, Virginia, but NASA says that weather concerns and launch site preparation needs have pushed that launch back to at least June 20th. The unpiloted test is part of an effort to design a system for safely propelling future spacecraft and crews away from hazards on the launch pad or during the climb to orbit. MLAS was developed as an alternative concept to the launch abort system chosen for NASA's Orion crew capsule, scheduled to start flying in 2015. Today's aviation economic potpourri is a little discouraging. Textron told Bloomberg Friday it will shed 1,300 more jobs from its Cessna division as demand for business jets continues to fall. Final numbers for May are expected to show 150 canceled orders for Cessna jets. The latest cuts would bring the total layoffs announced to date to 8,200, representing half of the company's November workforce. The first 800 of the latest 60-day layoff notices will go out this Friday. Cessna's already scheduled to shut down most operations from next Monday through July 17th. American Airlines announced on Friday it will slash 1,600 jobs from its payroll as it cuts capacity. Bloomberg reports Delta may follow suit soon, and U.S. Airways has asked for 400 of its flight attendants to volunteer for furloughs. Here's something you don't hear much from an airline executive lately. The Associated Press reports AirTran Airways Chief Financial Officer Arne Haack told investors on Thursday that the company expects to have, quote, one of the best years in the company's history, unquote. That forecast includes projecting a profit for the year as a whole. AirTran competes in Atlanta with Delta. Haack says AirTran's costs are nearly half of what Delta's are for comparable stage lengths. He added that while new competition from Southwest and Milwaukee could bring lower yields, it will also bring more volume for that market. Up next on ANN, NIMBYs in Connecticut say they'll go to the Supreme Court. Airlines may get more access to military airspace. And United pilots ask President Obama to block the Star Alliance. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Residents near the Destin Airport in Okaloosa County, Florida, have been told to expect a decision by July 13th on their eligibility for FAA funding for airport noise abatement measures. After conducting a noise study in 2004, a consultant using FAA standards recommended sound-blocking walls around parts of the airport, buying up homes from voluntary sellers in the worst affected areas, offering to insulate other homes, and changing city zoning to discourage further development in the noisiest areas. But the FAA commissioned another study after air traffic at Destin fell 15% in the intervening years. Now, only 4 of the original 20 homes recommended for buyout are still eligible. Neither study has recommended what some residents say they really want, which is a ban on loud jets and operations at night. NIMBYs in Connecticut are upset that a 3-judge federal panel has upheld the FAA's process in redrawing the airspace over their state. Stamford and other towns in Fairfield County claimed the FAA disregarded environmental impact in redrawing the flight paths. The Connecticut Post reports the 3 judges wrote in their decision, quote, "The FAA concluded the forecast, although not perfect, still captured the general flow and magnitude of the traffic in a way that can show differences among the proposed alternatives," unquote. FAA spokesman Jim Peters says the decision, quote, "speaks for itself," unquote. But Connecticut State Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says he'll seek a rehearing by the full U.S. Court of Appeals and, if necessary, by the Supreme Court. He admits that getting the High Court to hear the case is a long shot. The temporary allowance of commercial airline flights through portions of military airspace around the holidays has been criticized as a token effort to address congestion. But the FAA and the Air Force are looking for ways to create a more permanent arrangement for times when it might really help, summer thunderstorm season. One of the ideas being considered as part of what's called the adaptive airspace concept is the subdividing of military airspace into smaller boxes, making it possible for the military to use parts of the space while airlines use others. It's claimed the practice may help alleviate congestion when heavy traffic or severe weather force many flights through crowded airways. So far, the Air Force is the only branch working with the FAA on the idea, but other services are said to be watching the results with interest. Pilots of United Airlines, apparently unhappy with a lack of the desired response from the U.S. Congress, are now calling on President Obama to intervene and stall the proposed entry of United into the Star Alliance. Star currently includes 20 airlines, none of them from the U.S., and is expected to grow to 50. Captain Steve Wallach, chairman of the United Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association, has written a letter to the White House expressing concerns over a loss of American jobs if DOT grants United and Continental the necessary antitrust immunity to proceed. Quote, "We retooled our contracts and wages, gave up our pensions, and modified our work rules in an effort to make our industry more competitive. Must we now also give up our jobs?" Unquote. So far, no comment from the Obama administration. Still ahead, Michigan's aircraft use tax may be killed by the recession. Boeing has lowered its 20-year forecast, and regional fly-ins may recover this summer. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 15th. I'm Paul Platt. Several U.S. states have harsh use taxes on small private aircraft, aimed at owners with no residence or business interest in those states. The premise is that if you land your aircraft in a state with a high sales tax, even if you're just there for vacation or maintenance and don't live or work in that state, you must be a tax cheat who bought the plane elsewhere fraudulently just to dodge the sales tax. Florida is the most notorious, but other states do it too. Efforts to get these punitive laws pulled off the books have met resistance during the recession, as state lawmakers are reluctant to give up anything that looks like a source of revenue. But in Michigan, the potential loss of jobs due to the tax is prompting a serious second look. WWMT Television News reports that Duncan Aviation in Battle Creek had to lay off 122 workers so far this year and may have to cut another 100, in part because of the recession and anti-business rhetoric from Washington, but also in part because aircraft owners looking for maintenance alternatives are flying instead to states without use taxes. The Michigan State Legislature's Finance Committee voted last week to eliminate taxing owners visiting for maintenance on the entire value of their aircraft. Duncan Aviation Executive VP Bill Prochaska observes, quote, "It's easier for them to steer left a little and land in Nebraska or New York," unquote. Of the bill, he adds, quote, "We have between 50 and 100 jobs working key contracts that would be at risk long term if this doesn't get passed," unquote. State Representative Kate Siegel of Battle Creek agrees, adding, with a dose of political hyperbole, quote, "This misapplied tax literally makes business fly away from Michigan at Mach speed," unquote. For the first time since the recession began, Boeing has lowered not only its short-term guidance, but its 20-year outlook. The company now says it expects a market for 29,000 new passenger and cargo planes over the next 20 years. That's down 400 from earlier estimates. As part of its basis, Boeing tells the Associated Press it projects growth in air traffic, which has averaged 5% over the last 30 years, will be down slightly to 4.9 over the next 20, and that unpredictable fuel prices will remain a factor. One bright spot in the company's outlook is in cargo, which Boeing believes will resume growth after the recession ends and average annual increases of 5.4% over 20 years. And finally today, aviation event attendance numbers from May offer reason to hope that general aviation pilots who've pulled back on their flying out of a lack of economic confidence may be getting tired of sitting at home on the ground. In 2008, surging fuel prices were blamed for falling attendance at regional and small local aviation events. Nationally, EAA Air Venture Oshkosh apparently got help from a falling U.S. dollar. Domestic attendees were fewer, but were offset by more visitors from abroad. The deepening recession has made 2009 a question mark. While final numbers are still being crunched, last month's Virginia Regional Festival of Flight, despite changing its name, date, and location all within 2 years, saw over 200 aircraft land and park before noon on the first day, and may have set an attendance record. Now, the Idaho Mountain Express and Guide reports good attendance for two small events in that state in May. At least 70 local and out-of-town pilots showed up for a fly-in built around Idaho CFI Lori McNichol's lecture on mountain flying. Craig Adamson, manager of Cary, Idaho's Grass Strip, says 400 people and 40 aircraft showed up for a fly-in there. We should be hearing pretty soon how Marysville did over this past weekend, and Denver and Arlington are coming up in the next few weeks before Oshkosh. Sitting on the ground makes your flying more expensive per hour and more dangerous as you get rusty. So let's all get up there and bore some holes. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about the proper use of slips and the associated dangers. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.